Reading this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 29, and it's verse 1 and then verses 4 to 14. It's a letter to the exiles. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. But this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. Let's pray. Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so lighten our path today, that your word speak into our hearts through the power of Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I don't know, did you have this reading last week? Okay. So Penny may have spoken on something. I did this reading last week at St. George's, and as I was preparing this week, I just sensed that I should do this one rather than Purpose at Work, which we're supposed to be doing. So I don't know what Penny said last week. I haven't listened to it, but there may be some overlap. There was one preacher in America who preached the same sermon for 14 weeks in a row. And they asked, why did you do that? And he said, so that you would finally get the message. So if this is Spirit saying that we need to hear, then let's listen. So I hope there'll be something that's helpful. I hope it's not exactly the same. But as I say, I just sense that this word may help for somebody as we go through it. So let's do that. Let's look at this. So in 597... Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon invaded Israel, attacked Jerusalem. The invaders took King Zedekiah with them. They took David with them. They took Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that one. And God's people, who were once secure, had been taken off to a land that they no longer knew or recognized. They had been taken off into a foreign land. They were strangers in this land, and their values, their customs, their culture had completely changed. It wasn't their own. Babylon was at the time a cultural and architectural wonder. It was the place to be, but it was in the 6th century no place for a devout Jewish person. It was foreign, it was idolatrous, and it was the capital of the pagan empire at the time. And these people had plundered Jerusalem and taken them off into captivity. So I wonder how we would feel if we were those people standing in the shoes of those exiles, those ancient Jews. What do you think God would have said to us as we're standing there? If we had been his people taken by force to live in a pagan society. Dave read to us that there were diviners and false prophets who were who told them what to do and who wrongly assumed that they would have a short stay in Jerusalem, that they would be going home soon. We know from the text that they were going to be away from their home for 70 years. And so some of these exiles tried to withdraw from society, avoiding contact with the pagan Babylonians and all that they had in that country. But as we listen to what Jeremiah's voice says, is God saying to them, don't do that. Don't withdraw from that pagan society, but rather influence it. God didn't want them to withdraw. And so the prophet, prophet Jeremiah gives them some instructions. And I think these instructions to the Israelites were deeply foundational, and I think that we can use them today. So I want to just run through three things very briefly that I find in these verses, which I hope will be helpful for us as they were written so many years ago. I think firstly I want to say that God has a purpose for our lives. Now that might seem straightforward, that might seem obvious, but God has a purpose for our lives. For years, Jeremiah had been warning the Israelites to turn from their ways, and finally time had run out and Nebuchadnezzar comes down and he invades Jerusalem. And he takes them, overruns their cities, the armies are annihilated, people are killed, and a vast number of Jews are carried away. Now, Jeremiah is writing to these people in exile, as he wrote, but he's also writing to those who have been left behind, to the surviving elders and priests and prophets at the time, and other people who were in exile in Babylon. And Jeremiah is saying to them, despite what you're going through, God has a purpose for you. I want us to hear those words, because these people had just been carried off away from a land that they knew, into a foreign, idolatrous land that they had no clue what was going on. And Jeremiah says these words, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Picture for a minute these people that have been carried off to this strange land, and Jeremiah speaks these words. I wonder how they must have felt. I wonder if something like that happens in our lives and someone says these words to us, how does it make us feel? They must have thought, like some of us may have thought, yeah, sure, what is that purpose? Because I don't see it at the moment. But I want us to hold on to those words, that God has a purpose for us. In these words, God is saying to those Israelites, I still love you. I haven't abandoned you. I still want to do something in your life that gives you a hope, an optimism, a future. Hear these words that I'm speaking, God says. And I think he says the same for us. Several years ago in America, in Massachusetts, there'd been a listing in the classified section that went like this. It said, unknown item for sale. We know it's valuable. We don't know what it is. If you can identify it, we'll sell it for $250. You see, they had no idea what this was. They had no idea of the object that they had, but they knew it was valuable and they knew it had a purpose. They just needed to find out what that purpose and what that value was. They realized that someone who knew what it was would understand its value and its worth. So I want to say you and I have a value and a worth and a purpose. The world may not know what kind of value we have, but we know the one who created us and we know the value, the worth, and the purpose that that person places on us. Sometimes we look around and we think, what is our purpose? And I want to just give you a couple case scenarios of some people. See if you can recognize them. There is a preacher and his wife who are very, very poor. They already have 14 children, and she's now, it's not what? 14 kids and counting. What's that program? It's not them. Anyway, they have 14 children, and now she finds out that she's pregnant with the 15th child. They're living in tremendous poverty. Who do you think this person is? Charles Wesley. John Wesley grew up to be one of the most significant evangelists in the 19th century. They're very poor. She's pregnant with a 15th child, and God has a purpose for that child. The father is, this case number two, the father is sick with a bad cold. Mother has tuberculosis. They have four children. The first one is blind. The second one is deaf. The third one is deaf, and the fourth one has TB. She finds out that she's pregnant again with the fifth child. Anyone know who this child is? Beethoven. Ludwig van Beethoven. You see, whenever we don't see a purpose, God sees a purpose. No matter what we're going through, God has a purpose for us. We can't see it at the time, but we will recognize it. So that's the first thing I just want to say, is that God has a purpose for us. I think secondly, I want to say that God's timing is not our timing. You've heard me say this before. These are difficult words to speak, and they're difficult words to hear. And I want us to hear them, because the people of Judah hadn't been in Babylon long. The false prophets had been saying, don't worry, you're going home soon, just relax, chill out. But they're experiencing a shock. I wonder if you've ever suffered a tragedy in your life or a shock in your life. Perhaps the loss of a home, perhaps the loss of a loved one, then you can understand the shock that these people must have been feeling and experiencing, for they just lost their homes, they just lost many of their loved ones, and they'd lost the life that they once knew, and now they had nothing. And these false prophets had been telling them, don't worry, it'll be okay, you're going home soon. Often people want a solution to their problems, and they want it now. We live in an instant society, don't we, where everything must happen now. We send a text, we want a reply now. An email, now. We even have Instagram. It's called Instagram, you know. Yesterday, I was educated, shall I say, from my daughter, who told me what DM is. Does anyone know what DM means? You know? Direct messaging, right? Not Doc Martens, no. Direct messaging. So Instagram have direct messaging where you can direct straight away. Anyway, I'm giving my age away, but anyway. And it's instantaneous as they get it. They read it and direct message straight away. But we want a quick fix in society, because society tells us that we can't experience pain. Society tells us that we can't experience suffering because it's not right. And sometimes we look for the magic bullet that's going to solve all the problems in our lives. But God says to these people, there is no magic bullet. You're going to be there for 70 years. You may want to leave now, but you're not going to leave in that length of time. The Bible doesn't deceive us into the false hope that all our problems will be resolved, like we watch a TV show, you know, and in half an hour they've resolved all the problems, or in an hour's movie everyone's happy and ever after. The Bible doesn't lie to us. He tells the Israelites there is going to be no quick fix. This is what he says in verse 10, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise and bring you back to this place. God's timing is not our timing. God's timing is not our timing. You're going to be there for at least 70 years, he says to them. Now, why is this important? Why does Jeremiah say this to us today? I think it's important Because we need to know that God is not going to often have a quick fix for our lives when we want it. The time will come, if it hasn't already come, where you may find yourself in the midst of extreme turmoil, difficulty, or pain. And then Jeremiah's words ring out to us that our timing is not God's timing. We want a quick fix now. You're going to want God to get you out of that situation as soon as you can, but it won't happen as soon or as quickly as you may hope for. It's important to realize that God's timing is different to ours. And you may start to ask questions just as the Israelites did. Does God really care for me? Does he still love me? Maybe this faith thing in God isn't for me. But hold on, that God's promises are true. For he promises to go and fetch them and to bring them out. And God's purpose always has a promise. And then lastly, I want to say, even in the difficulty, God is still good. Even in the difficulty, God is still good. Now this is, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying God sends the difficulty. I'm not saying God gives us the difficulty. I'm not saying that God causes loved ones to die. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, in those moments, God is still good. The Israelites are invited to join in the creative and restorative work of God through this difficulty. Listen to what God says through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, "Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper." Can you see God's goodness in this difficulty? The Israelites are going to spend 70 years in Babylon. And God is saying, this isn't going to be easy for you. Don't withdraw, but build homes, settle down, plant gardens, marry, have children, and seek prosperity while you're there. God is blessing them in the difficulty. Pray for this place so that it prospers. My purpose for you is, while you're in exile, pray for it. Now, I get that this is not easy, and these words are tough to speak, and they're probably tough to hear too. But I want us to notice the goodness of God in the situation, in the difficulty. We may not always see it at the time, but when we reflect back, we will see God's goodness. Zechariah 14 is an answer to the Israelites' yearning, and he speaks to the Israelites, and he gives the same message about they're going to be there for 70 years. And he wrote to this weary nation to remind them of God's goodness and to remind faithful to God, and that hope is coming for them. I don't know where each of you are today. You may be distanced or disillusioned with God or God's promises for your life. You may be longing for comfort and belonging. And Jeremiah's encouragement holds true for us today. God's unwavering goodness and faithfulness never ceases. We've heard that four times today. His mercies never end. His faithfulness never ceases. And God has promised his followers that he will come and get them. That same invitation extends to us today. To know that God has a purpose for our lives, even when we may not be able to see it. To try and learn over time that God's timing is not our timing, and that even in the difficulty of our lives, God is still a good God. We are the people of the risen Christ, called to seek to remain faithful and to join with God in his work of redemption and restoration in the world that he made and he loves. Our purpose here on earth is to make known the person who made us known. Amen. Let's take a moment to be still and to reflect.